Morning. Today's daf in Temura is Chaf Aleph. We went a little bit into Chaf Aleph yesterday as we are planning for missing a day of Daf Yomi on Sunday, Tisha B'Av. So what we did is we already went through the Mishnah yesterday and a little bit of the Gemara. So today we're starting on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph and towards the middle of the Amud at the two dots. And today we're going to Mirza Shem finish the Perek and begin the fourth Perek of the Masechta. Tomorrow we'll be learning before Mincha. Mincha is at 6 p.m., so we're learning at 5. And then we'll resume, Yitz Hashem, we'll resume on Monday morning. Okay, we are in the middle of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. We are in Bo Tamim. Now, you remember yesterday the Mishnah, comparing and contrasting the Temur of Bechor and Meiser and all other, and the Temur of all other Karbanos. So the Temur of Bechor and Meiser, an interesting phenomena. If you create a replicated Kedusha through Temura of either a Bechor or a Meiser Behema, so the sourcing, obviously, the primary Bechor and the primary primary Meiser Behema animals, so they have Kedusha Seguf and they're going to be offered as a carbon on the Mizbech. But when it comes to the Temura, so despite the fact that the Temura has Kedusha, but the Temura is not going to be offered. So what do you do with the Temura of Bechor and Temura of Meiser and Meiser Behema? So the answer is what you do with it is you let it graze and develop a blemish. And once you develop a blemish, then what? So again, as one of the most basic rules regarding Bechor and Meiser Behema, there's no pigeon, there's no redemption. You do not redeem it, but rather what you do is necha b'mum, or it's eaten by its mum. I noted yesterday that when it comes to the Temura of Bechor and Temura of Meiser Behema, so I noted yesterday that I was unclear as to whether or not it's given to the Kohen or not given to the Kohen. The Bechor obviously is given to the Kohen. The Temur Bechor is also given to the Kohen. So my suspicions validated yesterday. I went back and did some more research. Machlokas of Rishonim. Whether or not the Temur of the Bechor should be given to the Kohen or not given to the Kohen. So, okay. So anyway, so it's not clear amongst the Rishonim. Other differences that exist between Bechor and Meiser. And so once we know the difference between Temura of Bechor and Meiser versus the Temura of all other Karbanos, so the Mishnah then just simply laid out all the other differences that exist between Bechor and Meiser and all other Karbanos. So Bechor and Meiser are unique types of Karbanos, and all the unique characteristics of these Karbanos were outlined in the Mishnah. We went through the Mishnah yesterday. One of the things we discussed in the Mishnah yesterday is, let's say you have a Bechor and Meiser outside of Eretz Yisrael. So it sounds like simple pshat in the Mishnah, by the way, is that Bechor for sure applies outside of Eretz Yisrael, meaning it's what is it predicated on? Just simply firstborn animal. So you have a firstborn animal, so it's going to have firstborn male animal. So that's going to have Kedushas Bechor. It sounds like Meiser Behema as well. But what if they're born outside of Eretz Yisrael? So do you have to now schlep him into Eretz Yisrael? So our Mishnah said yesterday, no, not necessary. If you go back to the Mishnah, the Ubay Nechutz Aretz, Chutz Mena Bechor Na Meiser. If you have Bechor Na Meiser, you don't have to bring him in from outside of Eretz Yisrael. Shimbao Tamimim, Yikrivi, Vimbali Mom, Yochlu Bomom, Labalim. Now, if you do, so they're going to be offered, but the Mishnah continues. But if they are Bomom, they can be eaten wherever they are. And Rabbi Shimon and the Mishnah, not arguing with the Tanakhama's viewpoint, just simply elaborating on the Tanakhama's viewpoint. Why is it by Bechor and Meiser you don't bring it into Eretz Yisrael if it's born outside of Eretz Yisrael? It's very simple. Because there's a solution. You wait till it gets a blemish and it's necha b'mumo, it's eaten with its blemish. Mashiachin, when it comes to any other karban, you don't have a simple solution. Even if it grazes and even if it develops a blemish, now what? Now you're going to redeem it. And what are you going to do with that redemptive money? That redemptive money has to be applied towards a karban. You're going to be buying a karban anyway with that money. So as long as anyway you're going to have to go to Yerushalayim, just take the original animal, the original unblemished animal, bring it to Eretz Yisrael and bring it to Yerushalayim. Okay, this is all what we discussed yesterday in the course of yesterday's daf, as we are now in the middle of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, and the Gemara now introduces us to the following debate. In Bo Tamim, Urimenu Ben Antignus Hela Bechors Mi Bavel Velo Kiblu Mimenu. Ben Antignus brought his Bechor from Bavel and brought it to Yerushalayim, and they said thank you, but no thank you. Meaning they simply rejected it out of hand because it comes from outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, that obviously is conflict with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah's position was, you don't have to bring it. There's no need to bring it. Let it graze and develop a blemish. But the Mishnah says, but if you're going to be bringing in a bechor from outside of Eretz Yisrael, so fine. So it'll be invited and it'll be brought as a karban. So the Mishnah's presentation and the short episode that we learned regarding Ben and Tignos is obviously at odds with one another. And how do we make heads and tails about it? So I'm Rav Chisla, lo kasha Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says is that what it does is it represents two different viewpoints. And whether or not a bechor brought in from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael and offered on the Mizbeach is subject to a machlokas ha-tanayim. And detanya. Now the Gemara is going to treat us to a really long brisa. This brisa will be covering most of Chaf Aleph. It starts here and it goes well into the Amud Beis of the Daf. And the truth of the matter is that we really, out of this very long brisa, we're interested in only one kernel in this brisa. But this is normally how it goes when, even though we only want one point out of this brisa, but we're going to go through the entirety of the brisa. It's here, and so let's begin. D'tanya, the Gemara quotes the following brisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gimel Dvarim Mishum Gimel Zakenim. So Rabbi Yossi is being quoted, he's quoting three opinions in the names of three Zakenim. So these three items over here are not necessarily related, but he has pulled these three positions together. One, Rabbi Shmuel Omer Yachol Yala Adam Meister Sheni Bezman Hazeh. So what do you do with your Meister Sheni nowadays? So in the Shemitah cycle, in the first, second, and fourth and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, so your second Meister is what is called Meister Sheni. Meister Sheni, you take your second 10% and you collect it. And you're going to then either bring it up to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim as it has Kedusha, or you're going to be poda it onto money, and you're going to take the money to Yerushalayim and purchase with that money any food, and any caloric food in Yerushalayim. Can't be water, can't be salt. Any caloric food in Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. Fine. That is all at the time when there's a Beis HaMikdash. Does Meister Sheni apply when there's no Beis HaMikdash? And that is what the first of these three Rabbi Yossi citations is discussing. Here he's quoting in the name of Rabbi Shmuel that you would have had a Havamina that you should bring Meister Sheni Bezman Hazeh. So nowadays in Eretz Yisrael, you know what they do nowadays in Eretz Yisrael for Meister Sheni? So they're poda, they redeem it onto money. And then what they do with the money? They destroy it. Meaning we don't practice eating Meister Sheni in Yerushalayim Bezman Hazeh. So we happen to know the conclusion, but the Brisa over here now discusses. So the Gemara says, Havamina that we should do this. Why? Vidinu. So Gemara says, let's argue this from a, let's call it a Kal V'chomer, could be a Binyanav, but whatever the case is. Let's argue this in terms of other areas that we know and other precedents that are set. Bechor tan havas makom, meister tan havas makom. Look, what about the carbon bechor? Now, bechor, of course, needs to be brought in to Yerushalayim. Obviously, it's a carbon. And so does meister sheni. Ma bechor in nonecha ala bifnei abayis, af meister in nonecha ala bifnei abayis. Now, bechor nowadays? No, bechor nowadays, we don't have a base of mikdash. Right? We don't have a mizbeach. Okay, apropos towards the time of year that we're in. So we don't have a bechor. We don't have either. And so therefore, there's no carbon bechor that's brought. So if that's true regarding the bechor, so the same thing could be said regarding Meister Behema. Meister Sheni. To which the Gemara says, what comparison is that? Lo, ima mar be bechor shekein taun damim, matan damim, v'imurim, legabi mizbeach, tomer be meister, delo. So how can you compare them? By the bechor, it's a carbon. You have to sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. You have to take the imurim and burn them on the mizbeach. So when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash nowadays, obviously we're without a mizbeach as well. Masha'inkin, when it comes to Meister Sheni has no mizbeach requirement. So the comparison is not a fair comparison. Amar bikurin tu'unim havas makom. Meister tan havas makom. So the Gemara says, let's try comparing Meister Sheni to another case study, and that is bikurim. Now bikurim, so that has a requirement to be brought to Yerushalayim. So ma bikurim einacham ela b'fnei abayis, av meister einacha ela b'fnei abayis. Now, bikurim doesn't apply nowadays, neither does Meister Sheni. That's the argument. To which the Gemara says, again, that's a comparison. It's not a fair comparison. Ma'ale bikurim, she came to an hanacha. Tomer b'meister, delo. Bikurim have this requirement of hanacha. You take the basket of your first fruit, you bring it to Yerushalayim, you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you're placing it on the Mizbeach. Now you're going to take it right off the Mizbeach, but you're placing it on the Mizbeach. That's hanacha. So you have that requirement by Bikurim. You don't have that requirement by Maaser Sheni. So once again, not comparable. So we have unsuccessfully compared Maaser Sheni to Bechor, to Bikurim. And so now the question, do we bring Maaser Sheni nowadays and eat it in Yerushalayim? So it's unprecedented. We don't have a comparison to Bechor, neither to Bikurim. So Tamalom Rav Achalt Ufnei Hashem Elokecha Masa Degan Chavit Yerushchavit Terecha Uvechoros Bekarcha Tzoncha. So we go to the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, and in Parshas Re'eh, we're doing the Torah is putting a lot of things in one Pasuk, otherwise known as a Hekesh. And in the Pasuk you have Maaser Degan Chavit Yerushchavit Terecha, and we're understanding that as a reference to Maaser Sheni, and Bechor. Hekesh Maaser LeBechor. So we have now a Hekesh. So we're not comparing it and making a Binyan Av argument. It's a Hekesh. It's found in the same Pasuk. And what do we say by a Hekesh? Eim Hashivan al Hekesh. Once you have the Hekesh, that's it. It's locked and connected. Ma Bechor Inanecha Ela Bifnei Abayis. Av Maaser Inanecha Ela Bifnei Abayis. So just like Bechor is not eaten nowadays, we don't have a base of Mikdash. Maaser Sheni, there's no requirement nowadays to take the Maaser Sheni and bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it to Yerushalayim. Okay, that is all the conclusion of point number one. Totally unrelated to our discussion. Because again, the purpose of bringing this brisa is to make one point that is relevant to our discussion. This obviously not being one of them. Okay, but anyway, good. This is a side point. The Gemara, before moving on to the next topic, has just a couple of follow-up questions over here regarding what we just discussed. We tried to compare Maaser Sheni to Bechor. Not a good comparison. We tried to compare Maaser Sheni to Bikurim. Also not a good comparison. The Gemara now is going to interject here in the Braisa and wonder, wait one second, what about the next step? Because you know what the next step always is. Well, don't compare it to one of the two. Fine. How about we compare it to both? Take the common denominator of the two and then compare it to Maaser Sheni. V'lihadardina. This is the Gemara's question now. Why did the Braisa go through this step? V'leisi b'mehatzad. Use the principle of mehatzad. This is now a binyanav from Shnei Ksuvim, from two psukim. Am Rav Ashi Mishum Deikal Amei Mer Malatzad Hashav Hashabayim Shekein Yesh Brem Tzah Mizbeach. So the Gemara's answer is very simple. Because even if I do take the common denominator between the two, they are still, even from both perspectives, not the same characteristically as Maaser Sheni. Because both Bechor and Bikurim are both connected to the Mizbeach. Bechor actually is going to be the blood sprinkled on the Mizbeach. And the Emorim are placed on the Mizbeach. Bikurim, Hanacha, the placement of the basket on the Mizbeach. When it comes to Maaser Sheni, there literally is nothing connecting Maaser Sheni to Mizbeach. Okay. Now, we get on to the big discussion. Again, a second follow-up question of the Gemara regarding Maaser Sheni. We are now entertaining a discussion of whether or not Maaser Sheni should be in Yerushalayim nowadays, now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And it's been that way for nearly 2,000 years. So, should we eat our Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim? Does Yerushalayim still have the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Makom HaMizbeach? Does it still have the Kedusha of the Mizbeach? So, this is one of the most classic arguments and discussions that takes place in Shas. It's in many places, and this being one of them. Whether or not Kedusha Rishon Akish LaShaisa V'Kidsh LaAsid Lavo. And so here we begin. Maika Savika Savika Kedusha Rishon Akish LaShaisa V'Kidsh LaAsid Lavo. Loshna Bechor V'Loshna Maiser B'nei Havanenu. If we're saying that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim remains in perpetuity, and so that means that the Makom HaMikdash, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, but the Makom HaMikdash is still permeating with the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash, so then, where is the discussion? The answer should be, of course. Now, by Bechor, it becomes a bit of a challenge because you don't have a Mizbeach, so where are you sprinkling the blood? And where are you placing the Emorim? So, okay, that part we understand. But Maaser Sheni, if the Kedusha is still there, so then the answer should be, of course, yes. And V'ikas of Kedusha Rishon HaKish L'Shayis V'lo Kish L'Asir L'Ava Afil Bechor Namiti Ba'elach. And if we're saying that the Kedusha does not perpetuate in Yerushalayim, and once there was the destruction of the Bayis Sheni, so then there's no longer any Kedusha, So then, why did the Braisa say, well, let's compare it to Bechor? Let's compare it to Bechor. Let's ask regarding Bechor. Meaning, I wouldn't be able to bring the Bechor Bizman Azeh. There's no Kedusha Samakom. You're asking about Meister Sheni. Ask about Bechor as well. So where exactly is this Braisa on this classic machlokus of whether or not Kishul Rishona, Kishul LaShaita V'Kishul LaAsilava. So La'olam Kisavik Kishul Rishona Kishul LaShaita V'Lo Kishul LaAsilava. So the Gemara says that the Braisa is working with the supposition that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim does not perpetuate once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And V'Hacha B'Maiskina, so if that's true, so then where's the discussion? What's the discussion? So we're talking about a very specific scenario. So the Gemara says, here's the discussion. The Bechor was shechted and sprinkled on the Mizbeach immediately prior to Chorban Habayis. Now, the case is admittedly unlikely, extraordinarily unlikely. We know that when it came to Chorban Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, so it was a process. The Chorban itself was a process. It didn't happen with the snap of a finger. It took time and it was progressive. We know that by Shiva Batamuz already Batlua Tamid. The Tamid wasn't offered already 3 weeks before Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So the case that the Gemara is providing over here is more theoretical than it is practical, admittedly. But still, within the theory, within the principle, if let's say the Bechor was destroyed immediately prior to Chorban Beis HaMikdash, the Bechor was shechted, and the blood was sprinkled on the Mizbeach. And then you have Chorban. Kevin de Iisa Ladam Lo Barzrikahu. V'adayim Basar Kayim. Kevin de Iisa Ladam Lo Barzrikahu. So the Gemara says, now, would I be able to eat the meat of this Bechor? So you understand now conceptually what's happening. I shechted the carbon Bechor. I sprinkled the blood on the Mizbeach. Then we experienced Chorban. And there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash, which means now the supposition of the Braisa is that there's no longer Kedushas Yerushalayim. And so is there an allowance to eat the meat of the Bechor? I'm sure at that point in time it's not one of the first concerns. If we are immediately post Chorban, I understand that. Again, we're just dealing with the theory and the concept. So would I be able to eat the meat of the Bechor? So
problem because the meat doesn't become het mutter until you burn the emerim.
Okay.
There's no mizbeach.
Okay, that part's a very fair part. The Gemara is not dealing with the emerim. Okay, excellent point. Anyway, good. So now on one hand, right now, as we are currently set up, so I can't sprinkle the blood now. I mean, I did, but currently, right now, I can't. So maybe if I can't sprinkle the blood right now, I can't eat the meat as well. So came the Yisal Adam Lo Barzvika who Asi Basu Yalef Midam. So being that that's true, so now that we're in a new era, a new status where I can't sprinkle the blood right now, so therefore I'm not allowed to eat the meat. And so now we have concluded that at that point in time I'm not allowed to eat the meat. And what the Braisa now is saying is if I can't eat the meat of the Bechor, so therefore under those circumstances I also would not be able to eat the Maaser Sheni that was brought up to Yerushalayim. Okay. This is the setup of the Braisa. Admittedly an unusual setup. But the Braisa is working with the assumption of Kedusha Rishona Kish LaShaisa V'lo Kicha LaAsilavo. And now if we are at the point of Chorban, so are we allowed to eat the meat of the Bechor? The answer is no, because it's connected to the blood. And since the blood can't be sprinkled, the meat can't be sprinkled. And since the meat of the Bechor can be eaten, neither can the Maaser Sheni that was already brought up to Yerushalayim. Okay, so if you are following carefully over here, the Limud is working where? We're learning from the dam of the Bechor to the Basar of the Bechor. We're learning from the Basar of the Bechor to Maaser Sheni. So how many jumps is that? So that's 3 points and that's 2 jumps. Now I'm going to take us back to Zvachim, where we learned back in Zvachim that when it comes to Limudim, so you could do double jumps. You could do double Gzeirah Shavos, you could do a double Hekesh. In other words, you could do 2 Limudim. However, when it comes to learning anything regarding Karban, so we can't do that. We can't do a double jump. The Gemara back in Zvachim spent a couple of days, couple of dapim, discussing this very topic. But the rule is very simple. You can't do a double jump. You can't do a double limud when it comes to kachim. And that's what bothers the Gemara right now. Omi yofinan. Kodesh mehadadi v'ham Rabbi Yochanan kol ha-Torah kula lamedim lamed min ha-lamed. When it comes to kol ha-Torah kula, you're allowed to do this. And that is lamed min ha-lamed. Chutz min ha-kadashim she'ein lamedim lamed min ha-lamed. But when it comes to karbanos and anything having to do with hilchos karbanos, hilchos kachim, so you can't do this. You can't do a double limud. So, meiser chulin hu. So the Gemara now proposes a solution. Yeah, but what's our limud? We're going from dam of Bechor to Basar of Bechor to meiser sheni. Meiser sheni is kodesh, and this is, as we know, another very classic debate throughout Shas in terms of whether or not meiser sheni is considered kodesh or not. Meaning there are two ways to look at it. One way to look at it is that it's chulin with restrictions. Restrictions of, you can't eat it here, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim, you have to eat in Yerushalayim, but really it's chulin. Or the other way to look at it is, no, it's really kodesh. Meaning it's kodesh with allowances. It's kodesh where I have to bring it to Yerushalayim, but once it's in Yerushalayim, so then I can eat it. I have to be in a state of tahara to eat it, but I can eat it. In other words, but it really is kodesh. So these are two different ways to look at Meister Sheni. Nafkamina, a simple practical difference between these two ways to view it is, can you take your Meister Sheni and can you be Mekadish a woman with the Meister Sheni? Machlokas, meaning it's a question of whether Meister Sheni is Mamon Hedger or Mamon Gavoa. Okay, good. So what we're arguing right now is that Meister Sheni is Chulin, and so therefore it does not offend the rule of Lamed Min Alamed, because we're learning from the Dam of Bechor, that's Kodesh, to the Basar of Bechor, that's Kodesh, to Meister Sheni, which is Chulin, so it doesn't offend the rule. The Gemara says, well, that in of itself, not so clear. Hanich Laman Damar Basar Lamed Azlina Laman Damar Basar Malamed Azlina Maik Alameimar. Now, in this rule of lamed min alamed, of making this double jump, there is another debate that also, going back to Zvachim, we saw back in Zvachim, and that is, when you're counting, what are you counting? Meaning, if the primary limud is regarding karban, and the second point is karban, and the third point is chulin, so do we say that since the third point is chulin, so therefore it does not violate the rule of lamed min alamed, or do we say no? Since points 1 and 2 are kodesh, so it does violate the rule of lamed min lamed. So the Gemara says, even if you want to argue that meiser sheni is chulin, okay, but that's point number 3. Point 1 and point 2 are both regarding karbon. And so therefore, it still would offend the rule of lamed min lamed, according to one opinion. So the Gemara's response is, basav adam chadam el sahi. So the Gemara says, okay, here's what we could say, that we're looking at it all wrong. We thought that learning Basar from Dam was a jump. Now, that's not a jump. In other words, they're both related to the Bechor. What we're saying is that since the Bechor's blood can no longer be sprinkled immediately post Chorban Beis HaMikdash, so too the meat can't be consumed. That's not a limud. That's one singular point. And so from that one singular point, now we're going to learn Techulin. That's fine. That's just one limud. Okay. That takes us all through the first discussion of the three Rabbi Yossi Limudim. Rabbi Yossi is quoting three Zakenim. The first was Rabbi Shmuel, and to state succinctly, even though the Gemara was not succinct about it, but that's fine, to state succinctly, Meister Sheni Bezmanazeh is not brought up to Yerushalayim and not eaten in Yerushalayim. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Yachol Yala Adam Bechor Michutz Haaretz La'aretz Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim V'Yakrivenu. Okay, and number two now is our discussion. It's the reason why we're learning this braisa. And that is the debate in terms of whether or not whether or not Bechor that is born outside of Eretz Yisrael should be brought into Eretz Yisrael and should be brought to Yerushalayim. So, Yechol Yala Adam Bechor Michutz Haaretz La'aretz Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim V'Yakrivenu. So at the time when there's a Beis HaMikdash, should a Bechor that's born outside of Eretz Yisrael be imported and brought in and offered on the Mizbech Tamar Lamer, V'achal Tof Ne'er Shel Melkecha, Maiser Degan Chavitirish Chavitzarecha, U'Bekaros Bekarcha V'tzoncha. And so, once again, we turn to the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, and by the way, the three discussions that are being had over here are all centered around this Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, which is why, even though they are disparate topics, but they are all connected through this one Pasuk that we're quoting. And what is the Pasuk teaching us? Hekesh. And we makum shatamala meister dagan atamala bechor. And we makum shiatamala meister dagan yatamala bechor. And the Hekesh over here teaches the following. When it comes to meister dagan, meister sheni, and for that matter, meister rishon, and for that matter, truma. So where does the agriculture need to grow in order for there to be a chiyuv? Answer is very simple. In Eretz Yisrael. Same thing is true regarding the Bechor. Even though Bechor is not agricultural, it's not growing out of the ground, these are animals, but still, which animals are chayiv in the mitzvah of Bechor? Only those that are born in Eretz Yisrael. But the ones that are born outside of Eretz Yisrael, no requirement to bring them in, and not only no requirement to bring them in, but it sounds like over here, like, don't. In other words, we're not interested. They get rejected, they get turned away. But there's no chiyuv. Now, does that mean that according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no kedusha? I would say it still has kedusha. You have to wait till it gets a blemish and necha b'mumo. I think his only point is whether or not it should be brought into Eretz Yisrael. But it's hard to imagine that it does not have kedusha. You're right. You're not right. Correct. You're just simply not going to be makrivit. Correct. Okay, so that now is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And now, if I could just go back to the Gemara's problem and the solution, we have everything here. Meaning, what we just learned together is that Ben Antignos brought in a Bechor from Bavel, and they simply rejected it. And now that we know this Braisa, and we know now the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, good. So the rejection of the Beis HaMikdash was predicated on the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Masha Ein Kein. Our mission that says you shouldn't bring it in from Eretz Yisrael, but if you do, they're going to accept it. So that is predicated on the position, Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, good. That's the point has been made, but here we are in the Braisa, and obviously we're going to conclude the Braisa. And Ben Azai Omer, we are now up to the third topic of discussion in the Braisa, and that's the opinion of Ben Azai. Yachol Mala as Maaser Sheni v'Yachlenu b'chol haroeh. Now, Maaser Sheni has to be brought up to Yerushalayim. That part we know. Where does it have to be eaten? So I'll tell you what the halacha is. It's lifnim minachoma. You have to be within the walls of Yerushalayim, right? Yerushalayim is a city with walls surrounding it. The walls of Yerushalayim are, parts of it are existent. Most of it is existent to this very day. And so it has to be eaten within Chomas Yerushalayim. The Gemara over here is entertaining a thought. Well, maybe it could be extended even a little bit further. Maybe it's Bechol HaRoeh. As long as you have visibility of Yerushalayim, so even though you're not in Yerushalayim proper, so all the surrounding boroughs of Yerushalayim, so that are not within the Old City, so maybe, right, Gilo and Beit Vegan, and, you know, we can go on and on. So in other words, they're within visibility, and so therefore, maybe you can eat Maaser Sheni over there, and you don't have to be within the actual walls of Yerushalayim. By the way, in other areas of halacha, so all you need is roeh. You just simply need to see Yerushalayim and you're good. Example, Kriyas HaMegillah. So Kriyas HaMegillah, so you have to be in a walled city. You don't have to be in a walled city. As long as you're within visibility of a walled city, so you're reading the Megillah not on the 14th, but rather on the 15th.
The new walking, and things like that. By Ibn also.
Right. Right, so the Gemara is entertaining. The same thing should be true regarding Maaser Sheni. Vidinhu, and the Gemara says now, once again, let's argue the point. Bechor tanavas makom Maaser tanavas makom abechor inonecha alif niminachoma af Maaser inonecha alif niminachoma. And going back to our trusted comparison between Bechor and Maaser Sheni, Bechor can only be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. So too Maaser Sheni. So the Gemara says ma Bechor shekein tam matan damim v'imor legabe mizbeach. And we already know. It's a comparison, but it's not a good comparison. Bechor, there is a mizbeach element. There's no mizbeach element as it relates to Maaser Sheni. So Tamar b'Maaser de lo Tam lamar v'achaltz lefnei Hashem lekecha Maaser de gan chavit yirosh chavit zerecha b'koros b'kar chavit soncha. So once again, we quote the pasuk in Re'eh, and the pasuk is teaching us about Hekesh. Mekesh Maaser lebechor ma Bechor inonecha alef nim minachoma af Maaser inonecha alef nim minachoma. So if it's based on an argument, we could argue the other direction. But now that it's a hekesh, ain meshivin al ha-hekesh. There's nothing to argue with a hekesh. So my kashule, so the Gemara says, okay, so what was your difficulty? To kama yachol ha-mart hol v'tanan, ain ben shilo Yerushalayim. The Gemara is bothered by the havamina. Meaning, this Ben Azai discussion, good, we know what the conclusion is. What was the thought process? What was the original thought process of Ben Azai that you can eat your Maaser Sheni as long as you're within visibility. So he says, look, it's not unprecedented. I'm sorry, let me just reread the last line of the Gemara. My kashale de kama yachol amart. What was the difficulty in Ben Azai where he's actually entertaining the idea that Maaser Sheni can be eaten anywhere within visibility? So he says, hovetanan. So he says, I'll tell you what he was thinking, and that is the Mishnah in Megillah. Ein ben shilo Yerushalayim, ela shebishilo ochlim kashim kalim maaser sheni b'chol arawa, uvi Yerushalayim lifnim min hachoma. The difference between Shiloh and Yerushalayim. Shiloh, of course, when we went into Eretz Yisrael, so for the first 14 years, so the Mishkan was in Gilgal. But after that, after those 14 years, the Mishkan was set up in Shiloh and for a long time. Nearly four centuries in Shiloh, the Mishkan was set up. The Mishkan of Moshe, of the Midbar. So it was set up in Shiloh and was there for a total of 369 years. So, and that's about the same time of the first Beis HaMikdash, a little bit less. First Beis HaMikdash was for 410 years. But meanwhile, are there differences? So the Gemara now notes that there are some differences between Shiloh and Yerushalayim. In Shiloh, so you can eat your kachim, your kachay kalim, anywhere b'chol aroa. There's no wall around Shiloh. And so therefore, what is the perimeter in which you're allowed to eat your kabanos? Anywhere within visibility. Yerushalayim, you have to be lifnim and achoma. So kachay kachim, lifnim and achlayim. Now when it comes to kachay kachim, even in Shiloh, you have to be within the curtains. Shiloh, there wasn't an actual physical structure around Shiloh, but rather there were kalim, there were curtains. But anyway, the point is that by kachim kalim, there's a difference between Shiloh and Yerushalayim. So ma'od etem of Yerushalayim leisi ma'aser sheni b'chol aroa. So now, maybe as far as karbanos are concerned, so the distinction in the Mishnah Megillah stands, where for Shiloh, kol aroa, for Yerushalayim, within the walls. But maybe for Maaser Sheni, we could take the halachas that apply during Mishkan Shiloh and apply to Yerushalayim. And since in Mishkan Shiloh you had kol aroa, so to Yerushalayim you had kol aroa. That was the thought process of Ben Azai, that was his Havamina. The Maskan is no, but that was at least the Havamina of Ben Azai. Right. So correct. So there are three. I mean, he quoted three. In other words, Rav Yossi quoted three. The Gemara now is entertaining the following. You have a Bechor that's over a year old. And so over a year old, so now it's beyond its time to be offered. The Bechor should be offered within a year. Okay? And the person didn't. And now it's past its first birthday, and now what? So you would have thought, you would have entertained the idea very simply. Okay, it's possible. You can't offer it. And you're going to have to wait till it develops a blemish. So Tam Alam Ramasa Degan Chavitir Rosh Chavitzarecha Mekesh Bechor LaMaisa. And so now for a fourth time, we're learning the Hekesh and Parshas Re and applying it now to our Bechor that's over a year old. My Maaser ain't no nifso mishan l'chaverta. Bechor ain't no nifso mishan l'chaverta. Now Maaser Sheni. If I have Maaser Sheni, I separated it, I'm holding on to it, or I'm redeeming it onto money, but I didn't get a chance this year to bring it up. Right? It makes more sense, by the way, that we're talking about being poed down onto money. If we're talking about either the fruit or the vegetable, so it's a perishable. It's hard to imagine that's going to stick around from 1 year to the next year. Although if it's wine, or if it's olive oil, or if it's grain, you can entertain the discussion. But anyway, regardless, what if Maaser Sheni, I set it aside, I just didn't bring it up this year. So what do I do next year? The answer is very simple. Oh, bring it up next year. Fine. So so since that's true regarding Maaser Sheni, that's also going to be true regarding our Bechor. Our Bechor that should have been brought up in the first year, if it goes to the next year, so then you didn't do the mitzvah min hamuvchar, but still you're going to bring it up. No, you're just talking about the animal prior to you offering it. So the Gemara says, okay. Now, this next part of the Gemara is just simply a question of sourcing. according to the Chachamim, who agree with the conclusion, but they already used the pasuk for various other drushas. We went over three other possible drushas that we're learning from the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. So where are they going to learn this halacha? So nafkaluhum lifnei Hashem lakecha tochlan shana b'shana. So they learn it from a different pasuk, also happens to be in Parshas Re'eh. So you're eating it year to year. So from that pasuk, they learn out that the bechor is not going to be disqualified from 1 year to the next. So the Gemara says, now, according to Acherim, this lifnei Hashem lokecha, what are they going to darshim with that pasuk? So mi baile lechidatanya yom echad mishana zuvi yom echad mishana acheres limud al bechor shenachal shnei yamin v'layla echad. So what they learn out from the pasuk is the halacha that a bechor is consumed for 2 days. A bechor has a 2 day allowance of consumption. Truth of the matter is like all shlamim, but I'll get back to that in just a moment. So a 2 day allowance for consumption, and so 1 day from this year, 1 day to the next year. Meaning 2 days, 2 days in total. V'rabbanan, according to the Chachamim, how do they know this? Nechal lebeis yamin v'layla echad minaluhu. Amakra yilecha kechazei atenufa. So, according to the Chachamim, they learn it out from the Pasuk in Parshas Korach. The Torah compares the Bechor to chazev tenufa. Chazev tenufa, part of the Shlamim. We know the Shlamim is eaten for 2 days. So, too, the Bechor is also eaten for 2 days. Okay, hajan alach elu kadashim. These are, that's the end of the third parak of the Masechta. And so we concluded the lengthy brisa that we just went through. The brisa almost took up the entire daf. The lengthy brisa we went through was brought in really to highlight the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that a bechor born outside of Eretz Yisrael should not be born into Eretz Yisrael. And not only that, but if it brought to the Beis Hamikdash, is going to end up being rejected from the Beis Hamikdash. Why should that be? So it's based on a hekesh. And there are three other possible halachic points that are learned from the same Hekesh, and that is that's the entire Gemara in a nutshell. Meanwhile, our Mishnah, by the way, is not espouse the viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, a right interesting note, our Mishnah says that a Bechor born outside of Eretz Yisrael, lichatchila, keep it there, don't bring it in, but if you bring it in, we'll be accepted. So our Mishnah is not reflecting the viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva is arguing with Rabbi Shmuel.
So Rabbi Shmuel has accepted it.
I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying that the Mishnah is accepting that. Yeah. Right. That's correct. Right. That part, by the way, is unusual. Meaning, usually the Mishnah espouses the viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva. That part's correct. Yeah. Okay. We are starting now the fourth parak of the Masechta. And so our fourth parak of the Masechta, if you've been following the Mishnah, you saw this coming. Because what we've been doing now in the third parak of the Masechta is discussing Tmura carbon by carbon. So in the third parak, so we went through Shlamim. I'm going in order of the Mishnah, so the third parak. We did Tmura Shlamim, Tmura of a Toda, Tmura of an Ola, Tmura of an Asham, Tmura of Bechor and Meiser Behema. Okay, so now as you go through every category of carbonus in your mind, so what do we have left? And that, of course, is the Tumor V'chatas. So the Tumor V'chatas. Now, the Tumor V'chatas, so the halacha is very clear. This is now where we get into the world of halach l'moshe m'sinai. There is nowhere in the Torah where the Torah discusses specifically a Tumor V'chatas. If you think about it, just from an intuitive standpoint, so what would we say regarding a Tumor V'chatas? Really interesting, because when it comes to the carbon chatas, a carbon chatas is a carbon that's not a voluntary carbon. I'm bringing a carbon chatas because I violated the Torah, b'shogeg, and so therefore as part of a kapara, so I'm now bringing a carbon chatas as a very specific purpose, and that is to provide a kapara for me. So a carbon chatas is not just simply, I'd like to get closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it's there as a purposeful carbon to achieve kapara. Now, if I'm going to take the kedusha of a carbon chatas and replicate it into another animal, I'm just discussing this intuitively, and replicating onto another carbon, so then what are you going to be offering that, right? Are you offering that second carbon? Meaning the primary carbon is what is providing the kapara for you. So what is this second carbon? It's a chatas that needs to provide kapara, but is a redundancy. The kapara has already been provided. Okay, so already intuitively you could see the halacha, just if you think it through, and see where we're going. And now where are we going? Halach l'moshe m'sinai. The halach l'moshe m'sinai tells us that the tmura of a carbon chatas is holech l'misa. you dispose of it. Now, when I say disposal of it, so the it doesn't sound that particularly pleasant, but what the halacha demands is that you put the animal in a pen, withhold food from it, and you let the animal die. Now, I know we all are sensitive to the ideas of Tzar Balei Chaim and Bal Tashchis, and those are important ideas. Tzar Balei Chaim, the Gemara in Chulin discussed, maybe an Issa D'Oraisa. And Bal Tashchis is an Issa D'Oraisa. But we always say, and we're going to continue to say, that if there's a reason to what we're doing, if there's purpose to what we're doing, so then we are bypassing Tzar Balei Chaim and we're bypassing Bal Tashchis. Fine. And over here, there's a purpose, and the purpose is Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He wants us to dispose of our replicated chatas, our tamuras chatas, and so therefore it's holech lemisa. So this is one of the five different types of carbon chatas which are holech lemisa. There are four others, and so as long as we're going to be discussing tamuras chatas, so the Mishnah over here is going to be discussing the other of the five chatas. Let's say them first outside of the Mishnah, and then we're going to see them all in the Mishnah. What are the five chatos amisa? They are the vlad of a chatos. If let's say your carbon chatos has an offspring, right? Quite possible. Your carbon chatos is a female, so it could have an offspring. So once again, that vlad holech lemisa. Tamur's chatos, as we just got done discussing. Chatos shemesu ba'aleha. Let's say you have a carbon chatos where the owner died before having the ability, the opportunity to bring it in the Beis HaMikdash. So now, once again, we have a chatos where it has no purpose. Holech lemisa. She'avra shnaso. Let's say the chatas is over a year old. The chatas needs to be brought within its first year. The chatas now, the carbon chatas has turned over a year, not brought. Holech lemisa. And niskapru ba'acheres. And let's say the owner received a kapara through another animal. What happened? He set aside a carbon chatas. He lost it. He set up a replacement animal. And he offered the replacement animal, and he finds the original. So now the original is kapru ba'acheres. So the owner already achieved kapar through another karban. So this animal now is holech lemisa. It is going to be disposed of. Okay. So these are the five chatos amesos. And so, as we are now starting the fourth perek, so we're discussing tamura as it relates to karban chatos, and we're discussing all of the five chatos amesos. Let's start the Mishnah. Vlan chatos, tamuras chatos, chatos shemesu ba'ala yamusa. So, the offspring of a chatos, the exchange of a chatos, and the chatos where the owner died. So, these are three of the five in which yamusa, they're going to be put to death. Next, she'avra shnasa, if the chatos is over a year old, she'nevda v'nimtzeis balas mum, or it gets lost and it's discovered to be a blemished animal. Now, the reading of this Mishnah over here is a little bit tricky. I'm going to come back and explain it better in just a moment. Let's just first finish the Mishnah. If the owner is receiving a kapara through another animal, so then the original animal is tamus. It's holech lemisa, meaning it's one of the chatas amesos. And as far as now that it's consigned for death, so does it lose its kedusha? And the answer is pretty much yes. Now, lo nenin, you shouldn't get benefit from it. That's an issa d'rabbanan. However, lo mo'alim, but you're not subject to milah because you're only subject to milah to a carbon. And this now, which is holech lemisa, no longer has carbon status. And so therefore, there's no issa of mi'ilah. V'imashalo kipur abalim. But let's say that the owner has not assigned himself to get kapara from another animal. So under those circumstances, so let it graze, develop a blemish, sell it, and what are you going to do with the proceeds? What you're going to do with the proceeds is you're going to buy another carbon chatzos. Now, being that this animal now is not consigned for death, so then it's still a carbon. It can replicate. It can make a tamura. There is going to be an issur of me'ila by it. Okay. Now, let's go back to the earlier part of the Mishnah, and let's discuss this part of the Mishnah a little bit better and with a little more clarity. Now, in order to appreciate this Mishnah over here, so what we have to really know is the upcoming Mishnah. The upcoming Mishnah, which is on Chav Beis, Amud Beis. So it's a long Mishnah, right? You can take a look at it. We're not going to get to it today. So this Mishnah over here introduces us to a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. We're gonna go over the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim outside, and tomorrow we're gonna see the Mishnah inside. The Mishnah inside goes through it inside. Now we're talking about a chata shenevda, a chata that was lost and replaced. So there are really two different types of circumstances. Now I know we discussed this earlier in the Masechta as well, but right now I'm really spelling it out. You lose your original Karman Chatas, you set aside another Karman Chatas. Okay. So, in a circumstance where not only did you replace your Karman Chatas, your lost Karman Chatas, you replaced it and you brought it up. And only after you brought up the replacement did you find the original. So, everybody is in agreement. All Tanaim are in agreement that now the lost Karman Chatas is Holech Lamisa. Good. And this is what's called Avuda B'Shas Kapara. In other words, I lost the original one all the way up to and through I received a kapar from the replacement animal. Now, here's where we're going to have a machlokas. The machlokas is going to be the following. Let's say I lost my original animal, I replaced it, and before I offer the replacement, I found the original. So under those circumstances, is the original going to be a chata shaholech lamisa? So here, machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rebbe's of the opinion that even in this case over here, holech lemisa, the original animal is consigned for death. Whereas according to the Chachamim, no. In such a scenario, the original is not holech lemisa, but rather it is a karban chatas. Now, you have two of them right now because you set up a replacement. So one of them you're going to offer and the other one, let a graze develop a blemish, and the proceeds of the sale is going to be used for another carbon. Okay. So but it's not holech lemisa. Fine. So this is a machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim. So again, just to recap, according to the Chachamim, the only time where a lost carbon chatas is holech lemisa is only when I set up a replacement and I achieve kapara through the replacement, and then and only then do I find the original. That's the only case of Chata Shenevda, Masha'enkin, according to Rebbe, the case is both where I find the original after Kapara and even before Kapara. It's still going to be Holech Lemisa. Okay. Now, with that machlokas in our minds, let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah over here talks about two cases, case number 4 and 5. Case is Avrash Nasa. Good? It's over a year old. Let's leave that alone for now. The fifth case is Sheavda. You lost it, and when you rediscovered it, it's blemished. You rediscovered it's blemished? What? I don't understand. What do you mean you rediscovered it's blemished? What about you rediscover it and nothing? Meaning, and you already set up a replacement. What is the Mishnah doing over here introducing us to? You rediscovered it and it's blemished as you rediscovered it. So Rashi over here spells it out. Rashi writes over here, the last Rashi on the Amud. Thomas. Afilu lirabanan. The army lekamen apligala the Rebbe. Dein chatos mesa elo shenimses lachas shekipra balim. So, Rebbe says, look, there is a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. We already introduced ourselves to the machlokas. Rashi says our Mishnah is divrei hakol. Everybody agrees to our case in our Mishnah. Even the Chachamim, who have a limited viewpoint of a chata shenevda, is going to agree to our Mishnah. Bahamoda. Why? Hol v'ika tarta l'reyusa. Because over here, Rashi introduces us to the following idea. If I have two strikes against me regarding my lost carbon chatas, so then everybody agrees, even the Chachamim agree, that the animal is holech lemisa. So if it's lost and it has a blemish, that's two strikes, so when rediscovered, even if it's discovered before I receive kapara through the replacement carbon chatas, even the Chachamim agree, it's holech lemisa. The avdam nim says balas mom lahachi naka balas mom deit me mahov nim says kon kapara afilu kipper abalim shubacheres roa. Because if, let's say, when I rediscover my original karban chatas, it comes back tamim, not a balmom, so according to the chachamim, you're good. Meaning you could use either the original or you could use the replacement. Either one would be fine. So Rashi sets up our Mishnah and explains our Mishnah that the reason why the Mishnah is coming back with a case where I rediscovered it, I found my original animal as a blemished animal, so now it's Avuda and it's Balas Mum, that's strike one and strike two, even the Chachamim say it's Holech Lemisa. Good. That is Rashi's viewpoint. Just a note, Tosos does not agree with the way Rashi presents it, and Tosos gives a different presentation. We're going to do this morning a little bit of Gemara. My time up, we start with the Gemara on Chav. We'll get to the Ima Shekipru. We're gonna come back to that. Ima Shekipru. Okay, my time alotaniluhu gabi hadadi. The Gemara's question is like as follows. There are five cases in our Mishnah of the five chatos amesos. And like we've gone through throughout all of Shas, but here is the primary location in Shas that discusses the five chatos amesos. And what's interesting in our Mishnah is our Mishnah breaks it up. You look at the first line of the Mishnah, Vlad chatos, tamuras chatos, chatos shemesu ba'aleha, yamusu. Okay, good. And then, she'ivra shnasa, she'avda, benimtseis balas mum. So, in the first three, that is organized as one grouping, and the next two, another grouping. And so, the Gemara's question over here, really good. Why would the Mishnah do that? If the Mishnah is introducing us to the five, just simply say, give us, list us all five, and then, with the conclusion of, yamusu. Tamusu. Why is the Mishnah breaking it up into three and two? But the Gemara's answer is very clear. So, Reisha Psikale, Sevelo Psikale. Because in the first three examples, so those first three examples are clear cut and there is no discussion. In other words, you have an offspring of a carbon chatas. That's it. That's all I need to hear. I don't need any more information. Holech Lemisa. You make a tamura of a chatas. That's it. I got all the information I need. Holech Lemisa. But when it comes to Avrash Nasa, or when it comes to, let's go case number five. Avda v'nimseis balas mom. I lost it, and when I rediscover it, it's a blemished animal. The story's not over. I need more information. Did you set up another carbon, or did you not set up another carbon? That's what I need to know. Misha Kippur, and that's why the Mishnah goes on. Misha Kippur habalim. If the owner set up another animal and wanted to receive kapar from another animal, so then fine. So then the original animal is holech lemisa. But however, if the owner did not set up another animal and was hoping to get back this animal, so then it's not holech lemisa. Good. So that's exactly why 4 and 5 are separated from 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, and 3, story's over. 4 and 5, story's not over until I learn more information. Because based on that additional information, then we'll know whether it's holech lemisa or not holech lemisa. Good. It's very straightforward. So, lama lelemis negabe mila, lama lelemis negabe tamura. This Mishnah is found twice in Shas. Once, right here, the opening Mishnah of the fourth parak of Tamura. A second time, in the Gemara in Meila, which is not our next Masechta, but two Masechtas from now. Next Masechta is Krisus, and then afterwards is Meila. So this Mishnah is found in Meila. Why is the Mishnah here in Tamura and there in Meila? But again, the answer is very simple. Tana hacha Tamura va'aydid t'tane Tamura t'tane nami Meila va'aydid t'tane gabi Meila Meila t'tane nami Tamura. Because look, this Mishnah over here is discussing two topics. One, how Tamura affects a carbon chatas, and two, how Meila would affect a chatas that was lost and then rediscovered. And so as long as this Mishnah is treating two different topics, so I'll bring the Mishnah in its entirety here in Tamura, even though Me'ila is the secondary point, and I'll bring this entire Mishnah over there in Me'ila, even though over there Tamura is really the secondary point. Okay. I'm Reish Lakish. Chata she'ibrash nasa ro'no so ki'ilo amenes be'besak first ve'ro'eh. Reish Lakish says, let's say you have a chata that turns over a year old. And so at that point in time, we look at it as if it's in a cemetery. That's just an expression. It means that Kohanim can no longer bring it as a carbon. Viro'eh. And what you're going to do is you're going to let a graze develop a blemish, and then the proceeds are going to go towards a carbon. But according to Reish Lakish, all I need is the animal to turn over a year old, or chatas animal to turn over a year old, and that it's left to graze. Now the Gemara says, how does Reish Lakish saying that? To none. Can we take a look back at our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says, "She'ivra shnasa ve'avda v'nimseis balas mum im achar shekipur ba'alim mesa." So our Mishnah says that if the chatas is avra shnasa, it's over a year old, it's one of the chataos amesos. So over here, Reish Lakish, how did you learn the Mishnah? You're telling me that the animal is over a year old and let it graze. Well, let it graze? What do you mean? It's holich lemisa. It's one of the chatos amesos. So tiyufta the Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says, okay. So Reish Lakish cited an opinion, but our Mishnah seems to reject it. So amlecha Reish Lakish, kikatani Reisha, amesa, avda v'nimtzeis balas mum. So the Gemara says, well, I'll suggest the following. When the Mishnah was talking about mesa, it was talking about the case of ne'avad, the case where the animal was lost. Meaning, in 4 and 5 of the Mishnah, case number 4 is avrash nasa, case number 5 is nevda. What the Gemara is trying to argue in defense of Reish Lakish is that when the Mishnah said the word mesa, it's only going on the case of ne'avad. It's not going on the case of avrash nasa. So we're skipping a line of Gemara and picking it up with the words ihachi. Ihachi emasefa ad shelo kipru abalim tirachi tistayv. So the Gemara says, that's a really difficult pshat. Because, did you read the end of the Mishnah? The end of the Mishnah says that if you were not planning on using another animal, so let this animal graze and develop a blemish. To which the Gemara says, now, is that talking about case number 4 or case number 5? It can't be talking about case number 5. Why? Because what's case number 5? I lost it, and when I rediscovered it with a blemish. What are you doing waiting for a blemish to occur? The blemish is right there. So it must be that when the Mishnah gives us the instructions of wait for a blemish, it's not talking about case number 5. What case is it talking about? Case number 4. Shiv Rosh Nasa. So the Gemara says, so clearly when the Mishnah is talking about Holech Lemisa, it's not limited to case number 5. It's also including case number 4 as well. Okay. Amar Rabba Hachikamar. So Rabba himself is going to try to say pshat in the Mishnah, again, to defend Reish Lakish. Sha'avda v'nimtzeis balas mum over. Well, maybe the Mishnah is talking about where you rediscovered it, it had not a permanent blemish, but a temporary blemish. But still, a temporary blemish counts as strike number 2. Remember in the Pshat our Mishnah, that if you have 2 strikes, it's lost and it's blemished, even the Chachamim would agree, it's holech lemisa. So what we're introducing over here, what Rabbi is suggesting, is that even though it's a temporary blemish, that's considered strike number 2. To which the Gemara says, im acher shekipur ba'alim esa, im kodem shekipur ba'alim tirat shetistayv b'mum kavua, she'avdav nimtzeis balas mum, over. Im acher shekipur ba'alim esa, im kodem shekipur ba'alim tirat shetistayv b'mum kavua v'tim aker. So the Gemara says, and now, with a temporary blemish, so now what's going to be the halacha? It depends. If he set up another carbon to replace the original carbon that he lost, so now, he found his lost carbon that had strike 1 and 2. Strike 1, it was lost. Strike 2, it has a blemish. Albeit it was a temporary blemish, that's enough where it is holech lemisa. If, however, he did not set up a replacement carbon and he was hoping he was going to get this one back, so fine. So now that he gets it back, so because it was lost and because it had a temporary blemish, so now it can't be offered as a chatas itself, but nevertheless, he'll let it graze, develop a mum kavua, and then he'll redeem it. This is what he's offering now as pshat in the Mishnah. And so again, what the argument is that the last halachas of the Mishnah are only going in case number 5, not in case number 4. So Amar Rav Shtei Tshuvas B'Davar. So Rav says, look, all this is really difficult ways to read the Mishnah. Number one, Chadad Im King Yishmor Mi Ba'alei. If what you're saying is correct in the Mishnah, that the animal already had a temporary blemish, and now we're waiting for a permanent blemish, the correct wording of the Mishnah should be Yishmor. Wait. And on top of all that, let's get down to the most basic of questions. You're telling me that the end of the Mishnah of Holech Lemisa is only going on case number 5 and not in case number 4. So here's the most basic of basic questions. Why would the Mishnah bring us a fourth case of Avrash Nasa if the Mishnah is not talking about it? The Mishnah is giving us now 5 different cases of Achatas, and you're telling me that cases 1, 2, and 3, clear cut. Good. Yamusu. And then case 4 and 5, well, when the Mishnah was discussing the end of Holech Lemisa or Yirat Shistayev, it was only talking about case number 5. So why would the Mishnah even bring up the fourth case of Avrash Nasa? What was the point of that? Ela Amarava. So here we go now with our final way of reading the Mishnah and Hachi Ketana. Avrash Nasa v'avda. Oh, avda v'nimseis balas mom. Acher shekipur abalim mesa, kum shekipur abalim tirashi testa v'timaker. Rava now has an ingenious way to read the Mishnah, and it is totally defending Reish Lakish. It includes the case of Avrash Nasa. It's a, I don't want to say perfect, but it's a really good way to read the Mishnah and keep everything nice and neat. Look, in the Mishnah, let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah reads Avrash Nasa, the animal's over a year old. Now what you're going to do in reading the Mishnah is and Avda, meaning the word Avda over there is not talking about the fifth case, but it's actually describing Avrash Nasa. Meaning, here's what we're learning together. If the animal's over a year old and it was lost, what does that mean? Strike one and strike two. And then the fifth case of the Mishnah, you're going to reread the word Avda. Avda v'nimtzeis balas mum. It was lost and it was blemished. So what do we have over here? Strike one and strike two. So when I have two strikes against the animal, those two strikes in both cases, we're talking about either it's over a year old and it was lost, or it was lost and was rediscovered with a blemish. So under those circumstances, everyone's in agreement, both Rebbe and the Chachamim, that as long as I set up a replacement karban, this animal now is holech lemisa. Why? Because it has two strikes against it. If, however, I did not set up a replacement karban, so fine. So when I rediscover the animal, I can offer it because it has two strikes against it, but it's not holech lemisa. That is what we're saying is pshat in the Mishnah. Now let's go back to Reish Lakish's halacha. Reish Lakish's halacha right now, super clear. Reish Lakish says is that if the animal is over a year old, so let it graze, develop a blemish, and the proceeds are going to go towards another karban chatas. Didn't the Mishnah say holech lemisa? No. The Mishnah only said that when it's two strikes, when it's Avrash Nasa and Nevda, that's when it's holech lemisa. But if it's just Avrash Nasa, it's not holech lemisa. Okay, so it really is a wonderful way to read the Mishnah and defend Reish Lakish.
Even if you were mechapa with a different...
No, if you actually...
Just one razor, right?
Right.
And then you were mechapa with a different korban. It would not be lemisa, it would be lemisa.
Again, Avrash Nasa without avuda already is enough to disqualify it. Mm-hmm. But what do we do with it? So according to Reish Lakish, we just let it graze, develop a blemish, and then sell it.
But if you brought another carbon to, you got a kapora permit.
No, but if you bring another carbon only in the case of avuda. In other words, what he wants to argue is that Avrash Nasa by itself just simply is tira, let it graze. Now,
that means you found it again? If it's out there, it's lost.
Yeah, in other words, it was lost and you found it. Right, correct. Haban tira ashi tzitzav v'timakir. V'tzarech lemisne imavda gabi balas mom v'gabi avrash nasa. Now, this idea of avuda going both on the fourth case and on the fifth case, it's necessary. D'itan gabi shi avrash nasa. Because if I only had it by the case of avrash nasa, hava mina hasam hu d'mahanyalei aveda. Mishum d'lo chazil amilsa. There, it's not qualified at all. The itan agabe. I'm just rereading the line again. Gabi she ivrish nasa hu ahava mina hasam hu demahanyale aveda mishum delo chazia la milsa. Ava balas mom di ilo mom chazia ema lo tahanile aveda. So the Gemara first starts off by arguing, look, in the case of Avrash Nasa, a Karban Chatas cannot be brought after a year, period. And on top of that, you have Avuda? Okay, good. So Holech Lemisa. But if it's just a question of Mum, what the Gemara is arguing is, Mum is an external issue. It's nothing intrinsic in the animal. Nothing built into the animal. Meaning built into the animal is a one-year time limit, where after that you can't offer it. But a mum is something which is external, so the Gemara is arguing, if I only had the one-year time limit and avuda, that wouldn't necessarily mean that I would have concluded the same thing with a baal mum and avuda. V'itan agabe balas mum, and if the Mishnah only gave us the case of avuda together with balas mum, hasamu demahanyale aveda mishum delo chazi la hakrava. Well, there a baal mum cannot be offered. Aval ibrash nasa de chazi la hakrava, but over a year, where it's fit to be offered. Now, when I say it's fit to be offered, it's not, meaning a chatas can't be offered after a year, but other karbanas could be offered after a year. So, emelo tahanile aveda. So, therefore, I would have thought that a year old plus avuda is not enough to give it a status of holech lemisa. Okay. We're going to pause over here. It's an excellent place to pause. And obviously, we're well into tomorrow's daf. So, let's just quickly recap. Beginning of Shir today, and really most of today's Daf Tamur Chaf Aleph, details the halachas of a Bechor and Meiser, and the basic differentiation between Bechor and Meiser and all other types of Karbanos. And one of them, which the Gemara spent a lot of time discussing today, is Bechor and Meiser from outside of Eretz Yisrael, being brought into Eretz Yisrael, Machlokes Tanaim between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, whether or not the Beis HaMikdash is going to accept it or reject it. Rabbi Shmuel says accepted, Rabbi Kiva says rejected. And that really is the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Braisa went and explored many other halachas that are learned out from the Hekish and Parshas Re'eh. But for as far as what is germane to the discussion of the Gemara, that was the germane point towards our Mishnah. And that ends the third parak. Fourth parak opened up with Chatas Temura of Achatas. Now, while discussing Temuras of Achatas, so discusses the five Chatas Amesos. The first three are easy to discuss. The second two, the last two are obviously much more complicated and much more complex. What we learned in our Mishnah, the way I presented the Mishnah today was like Rashi. The way we presented the Mishnah and the conclusion of the Gemara is that case number 4 and 5, you have Tarta L'Reyusa, you have two strikes going against the animal, and even though there is a machlok between Rebbe and the Chacham, which we have not formally been introduced to, and we will not be introduced to it until tomorrow's daf, until the Mishnah tomorrow. But yet, even though there's machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim, once you have Tarta L'Reyusa, even the Chachamim would agree that the animal is Holech L'Misa. What is the examples of Tarta L'Reyusa? So case number 4, it's over a year old and it was lost. Case number 5, it was lost and it was rediscovered as a Balas Mum. So now when you have Tarta L'Reyusa, so it's Holech L'Misa. And what we did now in saying that pshat in the Mishnah, in other words, there was a lengthy discussion, but that is the Gemara's accepted pshat in the Mishnah, and in doing so, we've defended Reish Lakish. Because Reish Lakish says that once it's over a year old, it's not Holech L'Misa, but rather, once it's over a year old, let it graze, develop, blah, 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 shell it, and the proceeds are going to go towards another carbon chatos. What about the Mishnah? The Mishnah was talking about Tarte L'Reyusa.